This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayera, and we will start with chapter 21, Pasuk number 7. There, the Torah tells you that Hashem remembered Sarah, and Hashem gave Sarah a child, and Avraham Avinu circumcised Yitzchak when he was 8 days old, and Avraham Avinu is 100 years old when he gave birth to Yitzchak. Sarah is actually 90 years old. And we'll start with Pasuk number 7, and we'll continue from there. The Pasuk number 7 says, Vatoimer, she says, Mi milel l'Avraham, who told Avraham? The Baal HaTurim brings down that the word milel, told, is also numerical value 100, that mem is 40, lamet is 30, is 70, and another lamet is 30, is 100. So, Mi milel, who told Avraham that he gave birth at 100. Heinika vanim Sarah, that Sarah nursed children. Ki yolalti van liskunav, that I gave birth to a son at his old age. Pasuk number 8 says, Vayigdala yelet vaygomal, the child grew, and vaygomal we're going to translate, and he was weaned, which by simple interpretation, it means that he stopped suckling milk, that he was weaned from nursing. Vayas Avraham mishta gadol, Avraham made a great feast. Beyom higamel et Yitzchak, on the day that he weaned Yitzchak. Rashi, on the previous pasuk, asks a question, why is it written, Henika vanim Sarah, that Sarah nursed children? Why is the plural nursed children? Sarah only had one son, Yitzchak. So why is it written in the plural that who told Avraham that Sarah nursed children? Nursed in the plural. So Rashi answers that in the day that Avraham made a great party and he invited everybody, according to Rashi, that party was when he was 24 months old, because that's when normally people were weaned. And we're going to have to understand what kind of party it was. But Rashi first says that when this party was happening, Avraham Avinu invited all the sarim vesarot, all the ministers, all the aristocracy of that time. And they started doubting that Sarah has a child. They were laughing and saying, look, Sarah and Avraham found a child in the street, and they are claiming as his own, and they're making big parties to try to fool us. So Hashem made a miracle, and Sarah was able to nurse all the children that were around, and everybody was able to say that it was a great miracle that happened, that Hashem gave a child to Sarah. Mefarshim asks a question. Technically, what Sarah did, that Sarah nursed the children of the aristocracy, of the non-Jews, how can she do that? The Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simen Kof Nun Dalet, Simen Beis, brings down, Yisraelit lo tanik leven oved kechavim, afilu bischar. There clearly it's written that a Jewish woman is not allowed to nurse a non-Jewish child, even if she receives payment for it, she's not allowed to nurse. So the question is, how can Sarah nurse all the children if she technically is not allowed to nurse? In truth, the Ramah right away continues, Elohim ken yesh lo cholov arba, umetza'eres osa muteres lahaniko, that if the woman has got too much milk and the milk causes her discomfort or pain, then she's allowed to nurse other children in order to alleviate the pain that she has. And since the Midrash here brings down that her breasts open up like two fountains and so much abundant milk came out of it, so therefore Sarah, according to Ramah, was a woman who had pain because she was so heavy with milk, so technically she was allowed to nurse the children. The two resolve on his Sefer, Divrei David, brings down that since Hashem made a miracle that Sarah all of a sudden had so much milk, and had it been prohibited to nurse, then the miracle would have been for nothing, and Hashem does not make miracles for no reason. Therefore, Sarah realized that she could nurse those children. Normally, she would not nurse non-Jewish children, but since Hashem made a miracle, and if she couldn't nurse, there was no reason for the miracle, since Yitzchak already, at this point, according to Rashi, was weaned, and there was no more necessity for milk, so why now does Hashem make the miracle? Obviously, Hashem made the miracle that she should be able to breastfeed all the other children, and they will see that Abraham and Sarah really had this child, and they did not adopt this child, that Yitzchak really was from them. Another answer brings down that the prohibition against nursing the children is only on a permanent basis. If you're doing a permanent basis, since by you nursing these children, you are making them grow, and you give a new generations of people that are going to hate the Jews, therefore, you're not allowed to nurse. But if it's only a temporary thing, only one time, and to show the miracle, then it's okay to nurse, because it's you're not giving them their main sustenance. Rav David Patsanovsky answers that since here the people were making fun of Avraham Avinu, and they were saying that Avraham Avinu took a child that he found on the street and they called it his own, and they were doubtful that Sarah at the age of 90 could really have a child, and since Sarah nursed the babies and they saw that milk is coming out of Sarah, and out of this nursing obviously everybody recognized the miracle, and everybody recognized that this is in fact Sarah's child, so out of this nursing came out a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, that now everybody realizes that God could change nature for righteous people, that Hashem is involved in everyday creation, and He changes nature, He changes the way of the world in order to please certain people. So if it comes out of Kiddush Hashem, she is allowed to nurse. In truth, if you take a look, the Yalkut in Mishle, Remes Tov Kuf Mem Zayin, brings down there that all the children that Sarah nursed eventually converted to monotheism. That since Sarah was such a tzaddikus, was such a righteous person, anything that comes from her and gives you nutrition and sustains these kids for a little bit causes them to change their inside, and because of that they all converted, the children themselves converted to monotheism. The same idea that is brought down by Antonunis and Rabbi Toisves Navoy de Zora, the Afiut Amad Beis, Divram Aschel Omar, brings down about Antonunis, which Doros Rishonim identifies as Antonunis is the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius Antonunis, who ruled in the years 161 to 180 of the Common Era. According to the Midrash, which Toisves brings down, that when Rabbi was born, it was a decree by the general of Eretz Yisrael that you're not allowed to circumcise the children, and Rabbi's father circumcised Rabbi, so the general sent Rabbi's father and his wife and child to Caesar to show how the Jewish people rebel against Caesar. So they were sent to Rome in order to be killed in front of the emperor. When they were passing by an inn, the innkeeper's wife sees Rabbi's mother crying, and she asks, "Why are you crying?" So Rabbi's mother tells her the whole story, that she's going to Caesar to be killed because her husband circumcised her son. So the innkeeper's wife says that I have a child which looks about your child and the same age, and he is not circumcised. Why don't we switch children? You'll give me your child that is circumcised, now we'll take care of him. You take my child which is uncircumcised, and actually the child is Antonunis, which eventually is going to be the Caesar, but right now is the innkeeper's wife's son, and you'll bring him in front of Caesar, and Caesar will check and will see that you did not circumcise your child. and everything will be okay. So Rabbi's wife agrees to do that, and they switch children, and they come in front of Caesar. Behold, the general comes in front of Caesar and says, Caesar, look, the Jewish people are rebelling against you. You gave a decree that no Jewish child should be circumcised. And here this person, Rabbi's father, which comes from the Yehuda dynasty, rebels against you and doesn't listen to your decrees. And he circumcises his child in direct violation of Caesar's law. Caesar asks to see the child, and they look at the child, and the child is uncircumcised. So the general says, I don't know what's happening. I know I myself saw the circumcision of this child, and must be that the God of the Jewish people makes miracles for them. Because of what happened, the law of prohibition of circumcisions in Eretz Yisrael was abolished, and from then on, everybody was allowed to circumcise the children, and everybody went home. On the way back to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi's mom stops at the inn. She gives back Antonunis to her mother and takes Rabbi and goes to Eretz Yisrael. So the Yerushalmi brings down that because Antonunis suckled for this day or 2 days from Rabbi's mother, that itself was enough to cause him to learn Torah and convert. That Antonunis eventually converts secretly. So we see that even it was only a temporary suckle that he didn't nurse for a long time, that only for the time to go to Caesar's and switch the baby's back, but that pure holy milk that he got caused them to convert eventually and become under the Kanfei HaShechina and come to rest under Hashem's divine presence. Even though you're only 8 days old or that age or maybe a month old, and you have no idea from right and wrong, but yet what you eat or what you drink influences you, that eventually that causes you to become spiritually enhanced and you decide to convert to Judaism like Antonunis, so too the children that nursed from Sarah, all the children converted to monotheism and they turned to be good. And the message of this nursing and them converting is coming to teach you that a person has to be very careful, number one, what he gives his children, that people think that since they are children, they don't have to eat kosher, they don't have to eat the proper foods. But you see from Antonuni's story and from the Midrash that tells you that everybody who nursed from Sarah, that they all changed to the good, they all became spiritually enhanced. So you see that the food that you intake, even as a child, even after it is digested, even after a long time when you become an adult, that food that you ate when you were young could influence you later on in life to become spiritually enhanced. And also tells us for sure, we that could make a difference between right or wrong, that we have to be very careful what we eat. That if we eat things that are proper and things that are right, then our spirituality will be enhanced by it. But if we eat things that are not proper, then our spirituality will suffer. And also, if we make a bracha on the foods that we eat, according to the Shla, the bracha is made to elevate the spirituality and separate and absorb the spirituality on the food, then we should all be careful to make sure that we make the proper brachas. And if we do that, then we will all become spiritually enhanced and will become better people. The pasuk continues, Vayigdal ha-yeled vayigamal, the child grew and became wind. That's how we're going to translate the pasuk now. Vayas Avraham ishtegadol, Avraham made a great feast, Vayoyim higamal azitzchak, and the day when Yitzchak was weaned. Rashi mentions, and that is the same idea of Targum Unculus, that we're talking about the time when a child normally stops nursing, and that is the age of 2, and it was a custom at that point or at that time to make a big party when the child stopped nursing. So Avraham Avinu made a big party when he stopped nursing. Does a cannibal Toisves brings down though that Bayoim he gomel, the day that he was weaned, the word he gomel is hey gimel mol. The Does a Canaan brings down that hey gimel is 8, mol is circumcised, that Avraham Avinu made a big party to celebrate the circumcision. Bayoim hag mol, on the 8th day that he did circumcision. Again, the Does a Canaan Balatoisva says Bayoim Higomel are the letters Bayoim Hag Mol. He is 5, Gimel is 3, that means in the 8th day circumcision. So the party was for the circumcision. The only problem with Does a Canaan is that the beginning of the Pasuk, Vayigdal, Ayelet, Vaygomel, that the child grew and he became weaned, and then Avram made a big party for the circumcision, which the Pasuk clearly says that first the child grew and then he was weaned. Obviously, it does not mean that he's 8 days old, because grew means a little bit older than 8 days old. Then Vaigomel, and then he became weaned. And afterwards it's written, Vayas Avraham Mishta Godol, Avraham made a great feast, Bayoim Higomel, on the day of Higomel. If we saying that Higomel now is circumcision, then it's hard to understand what the connection with the child growing. Why did Avraham Avinu wait till the child becomes weaned, or till the child grew up, to make a feast for the circumcision? Why didn't he just make the feast on the 8th day? And what was the purpose of this feast after he grew and became weaned? So we could simply say that the reason he made the big party not at the circumcision, why did he make it later? Because people would have thought that he is happy to put Yitzchak's lives at risk, that you people on those days used to sacrifice their firstborn child. They would have thought that the idea of Bris Milah is to sacrifice your child to actually kill him. But Avraham Avinu was afraid people misinterpret. Therefore, when the child became weaned, that's when he made a party, but he called it the circumcision party. He made a party in honor for the circumcision to show you that he's happy for the circumcision, not because Yitzchak died, because Yitzchak is alive and Yitzchak is weaned, and he waited 2 years. At that point, Yitzchak is out of risk, so therefore he made this party. The Rabbeinu Bachya actually brings down that the party was in celebration of him going to start learning, that people made parties either the day when a child is born or day when the child is circumcised. But Avraham Avinu wanted to make a party the day that he's taking his child to learn. That after the child is weaned, he doesn't need his mother anymore. Then he could take the child and go learn with him, send him to study like we do cheder after the child is a little more independent. That's when we start sending our children to cheder. So Avraham Avinu decided at the age of 2 that that's the proper time to send them to start learning, and because of that he was great besimcha, it was a great happiness. And Rabbeinu Bachya actually brings down v'yodua oid, it's known ki ein ahav asa'av leben, that there is no love for a father to a child, loy b'yom haleida v'loy b'yom hamila, not when the child is born, not in the day of circumcision, el b'yom shenikbal, the day that the child becomes independent, where he stops depending on his mother and he stops learning Torah. And then the love to a father to a son becomes greater and greater, and we start learning Torah. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya brings down, and that is the idea that he made a party now and not the original time. The question that we could ask also is, we always look for sources to make parties. Bar mitzvah, we don't have a source to make a party, we look for sources. By the way, the Medrash Agada brings down that the Bayoim Higomel, the day that he became weaned, he brings down that he became weaned from the Yetzer Hara to Yetzer Tov. That we know that until the age of 13, the person is mostly under the auspices of the Yetzer Hara, of his evil inclination. His Yetzer Tov, his good inclination, doesn't kick in really until he is Bar Mitzvah. So when he became Bar Mitzvah, he was weaned from his Yetzer Hara to his Yetzer Tov. And that's when he made a big party. According to this Medrash Agada, the party was a bar mitzvah party. And in fact, they used this medrash as a source for making a big party on a bar mitzvah. But we are always looking, always on the lookout for a source or for an excuse to make a party. And here we have Avraham Avinu making a party when Yitzchak is 2 years old, a winning party, well, when you stop nursing. So how come we don't make such a party nowadays? We always looking for excuse to make a party, and even we don't have a real excuse, we still make a party. And here we have a source to make a party, and we don't make the party. What was the purpose, really, for this party? This question is asked by my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yisrael Yehuda Leibovich, in his Sefer Ezer Meyuda, and he answers with a question that Ksav Sofer brings down in the beginning of the Parsha, and it is really a very strong question. We know the beginning of the Parsha tells you a story about the three angels coming to Avraham Avinu. Michal, according to Rashi, comes to tell Sarah that she is going to have a child. And the angel says in chapter number 18, Pasuk number 10, Vayomer, he says, Shoy vosh velecho ko eis chayo, I will come back to you, ko eis chayo, which is translated same time next year, but little translation is ko eis chayo, is at a time that you are alive, v'inevan le'sora ishtecho, and Sarah, your wife, will have a child. We know the famous story continues that Sarah left, and then Hashem gets angry and says, Lama zet tzachaka Sarah, why did Sarah left saying that I am old? Aipolem Hashem davar, is anything impossible to Hashem? Lamoid osh velecho, at the time I will come back to you, koeis chayo, while Sarah is alive, Ule Sarah ben, and Sarah will have a child. His question is basically, Avraham Avinu was already predicted to him, end of Lech Lecha, chapter 17, Pasuk number 16. There the Pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim al Avraham, Sarah ishtecho lo yisikra shma Sarai, that Sarah, your wife, is not going to be called Sarai, ki Sarah shma, it will be called Sarah. Uverecht yoyseh, I will bless her. Begam nosati mimeno lecha ben, I will give from her a child to you. Uverechtio, I will bless her. Vehoyso legoim, she will be for nations. Malche amim mimeno iyo, kings of the nations will come out of her. So Avraham Avinu was already told at that time that Sarah will have a child. We know that Avraham symbolizes chesed. Avraham symbolizes ultimate kindness. And when we want to exemplify kindness beyond anything, we say chesed l'Avraham. Avraham is kindness. The question is, here we have Hashem telling Avraham Avinu, you know, Sarah, your wife, will have a child. Avraham knows that Sarah is yearning and praying for a child all her life. Here Hashem comes to Avraham to tell her that Sarah is going to have a child. And Avraham doesn't tell Sarah anything. Where is the chesed? Where is the kindness not to tell your wife such good news? If Hashem comes to you and tells you your wife is going to have a child, is obviously great news. How can Avraham not tell Sarah till 3 days afterwards? Because we know at the same time he was told to do a circumcision, and then the angels came 3 days later. So how can Avraham Avinu hold this story within him for 3 days? Not telling your wife seems to be very cruel. So the simple answer is that unfortunately men are men, and men, when they are told two things, Hashem was told that he's going to have a child and told to do circumcision, and he did the circumcision, which is a mitzvah that really applies to him, and after the circumcision he had to circumcise all his household and Ishmael, and afterwards he was in pain or became too preoccupied that the promise that Hashem told him that his wife is going to have a child stayed out of his mind and he forgot about it. And that is actually one of the answers of the Ramban. But that is very hard to say about Avraham Avinu, which is known to be a Ish Chesed, a man of kindness that always thoughts what about doing kindness to somebody else. He's preoccupied about guests so much that Hashem has to send him guests, and yet his wife is told that she's going to have a child, and he doesn't tell his wife. So the question is, why didn't Avraham Avinu tell Sarah that he's going to have a child? Even though some Mefarshim actually say that Avraham Avinu did tell Sarah that she's going to have a child, and through that they answer an important question, or the idea that the Ramban brings down of the difference between the two lefters. In one place we see that even though Avraham Avinu laughs when Hashem tells him that he's going to have a child, there is no consequence out of it. And yet, when Sarah laughs about having a child, there is a consequence from it. Because the Pasuk in 17 says, Vayipol Avraham al ponav Yitzchak leimor. The Pasuk says, Avraham fell on his face and he laughed, saying, Halevan meya shonei volet, that I'm going to have a child at 100 years old. So we see that Avraham Avinu also laughed and Sarah also laughed. So why was Sarah punished for laughing and Avraham not? And Rashi and the Ramban say that when Avraham laughed, he was laughing out of somebody who laughs b'simcha, somebody who laughs out of joy. But when Sarah laughed, she was laughing out of skepticism. And the question is, how do we know that Avraham was laughing out of joy and Sarah was laughing out of skepticism? Maybe Sarah was also laughing out of joy. And the Ramban answers that since Sarah there says she left Bekirba inside her, obviously was skepticism, because if you laugh out of joy, then your lips move and you smile and you are happy. But when you're skeptic, then inside you, that's where you are skeptic. And that's why the Ramban says that's how we know that Sarah was laughing out of skepticism. But if we say that actually Avraham told Sarah, then we could say that she was laughing out of skepticism, because the first time you laugh out of joy, but the second time you laugh must be skepticism. Therefore, by Avraham Avinu, since it was the first laughter, Hashem was not upset, because Avraham Avinu had joy, and that's how Targum Onkelos translates there, v'chadi, and he rejoiced. Therefore, Hashem doesn't complain why he's laughing. But Sarah Imenu, since it was a second time, in second time must be skepticism, therefore Hashem was angry. How come she's skeptic? Hashem could do anything he wants. Even if we answer this question, the statement that Avraham Avinu told Sarah, it's not written in the book. Right, you could say it was assumed that he told her, but it's not written in the Torah. So if it's not in the Torah, maybe Avraham Avinu did not tell her. If Avraham Avinu did not tell her, how can that be? Avraham Avinu is a Ish Chesed, a man of kindness. And if he's a man of kindness, the ultimate kindness would be to tell his wife that she's going to have a child, that Hashem predicted that she's going to have a child. So if you take the assumption that he did not tell her, how come he did not do so? So the Ksach Sofer says that since there, when he was told that Sarah is going to have a child, it's not written that Sarah is actually going to live after she has a child. Maybe Sarah is going to have a child, but she will die at childbirth, the same way that Rachel died at childbirth. So therefore, to Avraham Avinu, it was bittersweet news. It was news that he's going to have a child, but he didn't know exactly at what cost. Maybe the child will be born and Sarah will die at that point. So therefore, when the angels told her, Koeis Chaya, that the time you were alive, so that was great news for Avraham Avinu. But up to this point, it was bittersweet news that Avraham Avinu is going to have a child, but during the childbirth, Sarah will die. So he didn't want to tell Sarah that. He wasn't sure what's going to happen at the childbirth. Therefore, he didn't say anything. But here, the angel all of a sudden comes and says, Koeis Chaya, at the time you're alive. So therefore, Avraham Avinu was happy that she will remain alive. Rav Shlomo Kluger asks a question, why was it required for Hashem to say, Haipolem Hashem Dovor? Is it impossible for Hashem to do, La Moed Oshu Velecha Koeis Chaya? I will come back at the proper time while Sarah is alive, Ule Sarah Ben, and Sarah is going to have a child. Why couldn't Hashem just say, Haipolem Hashem Dovor? Is it impossible for Hashem to do anything that he wants? Why does Hashem need to repeat the old blessing again for Sarah Imenu? Why couldn't just Hashem argue, you say you can do? Hashem says, no, is it impossible for me to do anything I want? Why is it required for Hashem to repeat the whole blessing, Koeis Chaya, that I will come back exactly when you are alive and you will have a child? Reb Shlomo Kluger says that the reason it was required for Hashem to reinstate and say again the promise that the angel gave Kohes Chaya is because that since Sarah left and she didn't say Amen, had she said Amen and then left, maybe her things will come true. But since she did not say Amen, she just left, by her laughing, she dismissed or she canceled the blessing that the angels gave her. And the Ramban himself faults her for not saying Amen, that no matter how ridiculous or how far off you get a blessing from somebody, you're required to say always Amen. You're required to answer Amen. And then you could react the way you want to react. But by her not saying Amen, it seems to be that she's totally skeptical about these things. And by her not saying Amen, showed her disbelief. And because of that disbelief, whatever it was promised cannot come true anymore. It was like it was totally cancelled out. Therefore, it was required for Hashem to reinstate the blessing exactly the same way that they said before. And therefore, Hashem had to say again, Shoivashi velecha, I will surely come back, Kohes Chaya, at a time where Sarah will remain alive. That Sarah will remain alive when Yitzchak is born. We also know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was taken by Basia, the son of Pharaoh, would not suckle any milk from the Egyptian. They tried to give her nursemaids and would not suckle, he would not nurse from them. Until Miriam brings Yocheved, the mother, and then he is able to nurse. We see that even though it's a life and death situation where the child has nothing to drink, yet Hashem makes it that a righteous person will only nurse from a Jewish mother or a permitted source, would not nurse from a non-Jew, even in a life and death situation. So too, Avraham Avinu thought that the only reason that Sarah Imenu is going to remain alive is because Yitzchak needs to suckle from him. Since Yitzchak is destined to be Oile Temima, is destined to be a sacrifice to Hashem, or since Yitzchak is a righteous person, so Hashem is making it available for Yitzchak a nursemaid. The only way to have a proper nursemaid for Yitzchak is to have Sarah remain alive for him to be able to nurse from her. Because if Sarah is not alive, then Yitzchak doesn't have whom to nurse from. Therefore, Avraham Avinu thought that Kohes Chaya, when Hashem promised that Sarah Imenu is going to remain alive when Yitzchak is born, is for the sole purpose that she should be a nursemaid for Yitzchak. But once that purpose, once Yitzchak is already weaned out of the milk, then there's no more purpose for Sarah Imenu to remain alive, because Yitzchak doesn't need her milk anymore. So therefore, when Avraham Avinu saw that even after Yitzchak is weaned, Sarah Imenu still remains alive, he decides to make now a suda, but this is a suda seidah, a meal of thanksgiving, giving thanks to Hashem, giving praise to Hashem for letting Sarah Imenu stay alive, even though Yitzchak doesn't either, on her own merit, that she needs to remain alive because of what she needs to accomplish, either in the chinuch, either in the way she brings up Yitzchak, like we see that she kicks out Ishmael and she's still required to be there to give him the proper upbringing, or the way that she requires to influence Avraham Avinu in order to behave the proper way, to teach him that even though you are chesed, sometimes you have to use gevura, you have to use strength, and you have to do things that you don't like. But nonetheless, Avraham Avinu realized that she's alive on her own merit. But since she's alive on her own merit, I'm required to give a suda seidah, a thanking Hashem for letting her remain alive. So therefore, only after Yitzchak is weaned, where Yitzchak doesn't need anymore the milk of his mother, and now technically for that purpose, Sarah Imenu doesn't have to stay alive. She could technically go on to the next world, but yet Hashem still makes sure that she's here. So therefore, Avraham Avinu at this juncture decides to give a suda seidah, a suda of thanks to Hashem, and that's why he makes the meal when he's 2 years old, and that's why it's not just a winning party. We don't make just a meal for winning, We make a meal to thank Hashem, and nowadays, if something good happens to us, we're still required to make a Seudah Seidah. So that is what this was. This idea that this meal was given when Yitzchak was 2 years old, and it was a winning party, it was the party when he was winned, is actually the opinion of Rab Levi, which is brought down the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Zayin Omed Aleph. There the Gemara brings the whole story. We mentioned that Avraham Avinu made a meal and invited everybody to partake of the meal. They started saying that Avraham Avinu and Sarah brought an adopted child, and Hashem made a miracle, and Sarah was able to nurse all the children. There is another machlok in the Gemara between Rab Levi and somebody else, which we're going to quote in a minute. And the Gemara has to do with the end of this parsha. There it says, "Vayachar advarim oela v'elokim nises Avram," and it was after those things, and Hashem tested Avram. And there is the parsha of the Akedah. That is the story of the binding of Isaac, in chapter 22, pasuk number 1. There it says it was after those things. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis is bothered. What are those things? The pasuk says, after those things, must be there is something going on before that caused Hashem to test Avraham. So what are those things that the pasuk means? Says, Achar advarim oela, after those things, what is these things? So the Gemara first gives the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says, in Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, that after the words of the Satan, that after Avraham Avinu did this huge party, the Satan came to Hashem and says, Hashem, look, Zaken Zed, this old person, Avraham, you gave him a gift after 100 years from the whole meal that he made for everybody else. Shouldn't he give you at least one sacrifice, one bird, something for you? So Hashem answered him. The whole party he did was for his son. If I tell him, take this son and sacrifice, he will do it for me. So the Satan says, let's see. So therefore it's written, Vayachar advarim oela, after these things. Which means after the argument of the Satan and Hashem on the merits of Avraham Avinu. And the Gemara continues the whole story. But afterwards the Gemara says, Rab Levi says, that it wasn't actually the talk between the Satan and Hashem after the meal. It was actually the talk between Ishmael and Yitzchak. That Ishmael came to Yitzchak and says, I'm greater than you in mitzvahs. That you had no choice. You were 8 days old. You had no choice. They circumcised you. But me, I had a choice. I was 13 years old and I was willing to give up a limb for Hashem. So Yitzchak tells him, you are glorifying yourself that you gave a limb for Hashem? If Hashem asks me to give my whole body, I would give my whole body to Hashem. So after Yitzchak said that, Hashem said, Velokim nisas Avram, Hashem tested Avram, and actually the test was actually for Yitzchak. Again, according to the first opinion, which is Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, the test was for Avraham, that since Avraham didn't give any sacrifices for Hashem, the Satan was able to start up with him, and the Satan complained, where's the sacrifice that Avraham gave for you? And according to Rab Levi, it's not a test for Avraham, it was a test for Yitzchak. So the question is, the pasuk actually says, V'kel v'kim nisa es Avraham, Hashem tested Avraham. Obviously, if it would be the test for Yitzchak, Hashem doesn't have to test Avraham. The pasuk clearly says that it was a test for Avraham. So why doesn't Rab Levi accept Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra's theory that it was the argument for the Satan? Why does he have to go out of his way to explain it as being a test for Yitzchak when, if you read the Torah simply, you could clearly see this is a test for Avraham? That the Posak actually says, V'lekim nisa es Avraham, Hashem tested Avraham. So why do you have to say it was a test for Yitzchak? What forced him to say that? So according to what we just mentioned, that the whole Suda that Avraham Avinu did when he was 2 years old was a Suda Seidah, was a thankful for Hashem for letting Sarah remain alive. So the whole meal was a meal for Hashem. So how can the Satan come say he didn't give me a bird? The whole meal was to thank Hashem for what he did. And that is, Rab Levi said that. So Rab Levi cannot say now that Avraham Avinu didn't give a sacrifice, didn't give anything for Hashem, because the whole party Avraham did was only for Hashem, was only to thank Hashem for letting Sarah May alive. So was the whole party was for Hashem. Therefore, Rab Levi has no choice. Rab Levi, who himself says that the whole party was a gift for Hashem, cannot understand that the Satan will come and argue, did you give a bird? What do you mean give a bird? I gave a whole party for Hashem. Avraham Avinu gave a whole party for Hashem. So therefore, Rab Levi has to say that the Achra Dvarim Oela, after these things, was actually an argument between Ishmael and Yitzchak. It cannot be the Satan arguing, did Avraham Avinu give you a gift? It can't be, because Avraham Avinu made a whole party for Hashem. Therefore, Rab Levi has no choice, and he has to say, according to his opinion, that the first meal was a Suda Seido, a thankful meal to Hashem, to thank for letting Sarah Imenu remain alive. He has to say that the reason for Akedas Yitzchak has to be that Yitzchak was arguing with Ishmael and was a test for Yitzchak. From this parsha we see the importance of eating the right things, of not putting prohibited things in your mouth, and also we see the importance that when something good happens to you, that you require to thank Hashem, you require to give Him praise, and also it teaches you that whenever somebody gives you a bracha, regardless what the bracha is, you should always say Amen and ratify it. And since we're speaking about brachas, Hashem's bracha should help that we should pass all our tests. Hashem always throws tests in our ways, everyone according to his level. And Hashem should help that we should all pass our tests. And if we pass our tests and serve Hashem with joy, health, peace, and tranquility, and Moshiach Tzidkenu should come, and Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.